Now I look around the room, I think I know everybody here. I do. That's good. So I want to introduce myself. We'll skip that. I've got 20 minutes, okay? So that will get rid of that bit. Last year, I took up, yes, 2016 I'm talking about. Takes a bit to get used to the fact that we're in a new year, doesn't it? I took up something I'd been wanting to do for a while. I'd put it off, or it hadn't been good timing for a lot of reasons, but I went back to study after 20-ish years, and I decided to start a diploma of Christian studies. I thought, well, you know, I've been working and employed at a church for nearly 10 years. I guess I better find out what I'm, you know, supposed to know. I found it, it's been a good experience and the next step in my, I guess, journey of learning. And, so I started in the second semester of last year. And so when Mike came around and said, hey, do you want to preach in January? You know, programs, kids' programs are in recess. You'll just be sitting around twiddling your thumbs. What else will you be doing? Would you like to preach on the 8th of January? And I thought, well, I guess I should, really. Let me put some of this into practice. And I guess I could. So I said yes, but I am feeling a little bit anxious and also feeling quite grateful that my children are here, and I think my nieces and nephews are here, because I want to invite the kids to come up the front, because if you come up the front, then you'll have something to do. So I know all your names, so if you don't come up on your own, I'm going to say your names. So Alice and Cameron, come and find a seat. Levi, hey, even Mally, look, I'm not going to ask you to repeat anything or act anything out. We'll leave that for when we're, you know, down there and pop balloons and eat lollies and that kind of stuff. Just got something for you to focus on while I'm, Bailey or anyone else with long legs, you can try. You might have to wrap them around your ears or something to sit on these little tables. But you guys sitting there, you bring me a little bit of comfort because I'm used to working and speaking to people your age. And I also think that you, oh, look, there you go. Aileen Sherlin's here. Thanks, Mally. Angus, you just fit, your knees just fit under there and your knees just fit under there. So leave the pencils for now. You guys sitting there are going to make me feel a bit more comfortable and familiar. And I reckon you're probably going to come up with something that may encourage and inspire, or a different viewpoint of something for the rest of us. But just listen for a little bit as I introduce what I'm going to be, well, the book of the Bible that I'm going to be speaking on today. So in my studies, I study part-time, so I did OT, an Old Testament subject, and a New Testament subject. And as I went through the Old Testament subject, which was focusing on the writings, Psalms, the readings, and the prophet books of the Old Testament, I was fascinated by the repeated story of God's seeking after his people and the promise of redeeming them to himself. And, of course, then the fulfillment of this through Jesus that we see in the broader horizon of the New Testament. And so when I came to choose something to speak on this morning, I said to Mike, well, so what's the passage? What's the theme? And he goes, it's called Holiday Homilies. You can speak on anything you like. Okay, so I chose a small book in the Old Testament called Habakkuk, okay? Now, you might think we're joking this morning that this is not really a real book of the Bible, but it is. It's not just in the kids' Bible. It's not a character in Lord of the Rings. It is a real book of the Bible. It's only got three chapters. It's a small book, but it's got a big message. Okay, so Habakkuk, he was a prophet. One of the minor prophets. We don't know much about Habakkuk, but we do know that he was trained for ministry and his job as a prophet. He was a man of strong faith, but he's mainly known for the questions that he asked God. Now, Habakkuk was not afraid to ask questions, and God used his readiness. So Habakkuk wrote this prophecy about the time that the southern part of Israel, of Judah, was being about to be invaded by the Babylonians, okay? So Babylon had already overthrown Nineveh and Egypt, and Jerusalem was next in line for this invasion. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been wiped out by the Assyrians. Now, Habakkuk probably ministered around the same time as Jeremiah. That might be a more familiar name to you. About 600-700 years before Christ. Now, the first place I want to start is I want to think and bring to you the meaning, you may or may not already know this, that Habakkuk means to wrestle. Okay, so when we think of wrestling, we might think of sumo wrestling. Okay, quick, let's move on from that picture. Okay, this is one for, you know, us oldies, us 90s, 80s people, your parents, your grandparents. I don't know. I don't keep up with wrestling, so I don't know who the current people are. But there's Hulk Hogan. Okay, here's some maybe more modern characters. Maybe we've got the, you know, the superheroes. You know, Toby, yep, look, you're matching there with your T-shirt. Wrestling it out, fighting it out in the universe for the good of something. I don't know. I use it. And here's another more modern one. Maybe he's a bit more friendly. Maybe you want to have a bit of a wrestle with Shrek. Or maybe when you think of wrestling, you think of when, you know, Dad gets you and gives you a good tickle and then you get to get him back. Or maybe you think of having a wrestling. Look, this could be your family there, Tim and Sam and Will. Actually, one of the brothers looks like the head is part of the legs. I don't know. So they're having a good wrestle on the lounge there. Or perhaps an arm wrestle. Maybe, you know, the winner gets, I don't know what. The winner gets to wear the hat. Or the winner gets the boy. I don't know what's going on there. So, wrestling. But Habakkuk, he wasn't doing that kind of wrestling. He did have to wrestle with people all the time. He had to tell them to stop making bad choices. And he also had to wrestle, or he also did wrestle with God, because he didn't always agree with how God did things. And he thought God seemed to be pretty inactive and unconcerned about all the hassle and the strife in Israel at the time. So he had a good wrestle with God, and he asked God about it. He said, you know, why do people seem to get away with bad stuff? Why aren't you doing anything about it? Why do I have such a weird name? Okay. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Where did he do this wrestling? So in the second chapter of Habakkuk, remember it's only got three chapters, it gives us a bit of a hint that he may be in a watchtower. It says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? So I'll climb up to my watchtower and I'll stand at my guard post." Gee, that's really small, isn't it? "There I will wait to see the Lord, what the Lord says, and how he will answer my complaint." So perhaps the watchtower looked a little bit like this. I did a bit of reading. A lot of them were on their own, like an individual kind of structure. There's a picture of another one. So it was a tower built to create a kind of elevated observation point, perhaps used a bit for, a lot for military reasons. It was probably quite safe. You could duck down there underneath that stone. Some of them may have had walls. So, guarding, you know, need some precious crop or the city or something like that. And there's a bit of an action figure. Action shot. But then maybe this watchtower actually wasn't a literal watchtower, but a figurative one. So when Habakkuk said he was going to climb up his watchtower and have a bit of a chat with God, people in his day probably understood what he was saying. So a watchman or a watchtower were often used by prophets to show an attitude of expectation, of, I guess, looking to a higher place and what's God got to say about this situation we're in. So it was a word picture of Habakkuk's attitude of waiting patiently and watching for God's response. Let's have a look at some pictures of a modern watchtower. So perhaps one that is used in a prison to overlook the comings and goings, keep a guard on the fences. Perhaps one down at the beach. This is probably one that we're quite familiar with, although not so much here in South Australia, but certainly in some of the eastern beaches, they've got plenty of these structures, looking out to sea, seeing if anyone's in trouble, seeing if there's any sharks out there. Okay, or maybe you're familiar with building a watchtower in Minecraft. Okay. Is this a good one or is it an average one? I don't know. So Habakkuk climbed a lookout tower to talk with God and to listen to what he had to say. And so I thought I'd show you perhaps some places where I like to go when I want to think about God or when I want to spend time with him. So I do find that I connect with God a lot when I'm outdoors. So this would kind of be my ideal place. I think this is a beach in York Peninsula, so wouldn't mind getting out there nice and early, or perhaps when there's a sunset, just walk. You feel like you can walk for ages on a beach and just walk and talk and listen. So that is a kind of an ideal place where I like to go and have a chat with God. But more realistically, it's this one. So this is my, this is our backyard, our veranda. And of course, in the front is the cup of coffee. Okay. So that kind of goes with my chats with God. So kids, I've got a task for you. So Zoe, if you don't mind handing out these, pieces of card here, I want you to have a think about a place where you go when you want to chat to God, okay? So you've got a little bit of time while we chat a bit more about this passage in this book. And I want you to draw just like the best picture that you can about this place where you like to go to chat to God. As I said, you've got plenty of time. It's something that you can concentrate on. You don't need to talk to the person next to you because it's your place. Now, if you don't actually talk to God much or this task is kind of stumping you, have a think about a place where you would like to go to talk to God, or a place where you just feel safe and comfortable, or a place where you find helps you relax and think. Maybe it's a hammock, maybe it's your bedroom, maybe you've got a treehouse. I don't know. So you get onto that while we have a closer look at this passage. So Habakkuk, the structure of this book is basically he complains to God, God answers. He doesn't really like the answer, Habakkuk. And so he has another complaint. God gives another answer. And then in chapter 3, we'll see another response from Habakkuk. Okay? So let's move to Habakkuk's first complaint. So in the very first chapter, the second verse, we hear Habakkuk say, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save." So Habakkuk's complaint, his first complaint, is pretty simple. The Israelites in his day were in a period of long spiritual decline. And as a result, people had neglected God in quite growing numbers, which caused great concern for Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived in a world where people were ignoring God and his commands. And we see he goes into detail in the first chapter of all the stuff that they're getting up to and getting wrong. And so Habakkuk wonders why God allowed all this evil to go unpunished. And so we have a sense of what it is. Today we have a sense of what this is like, because we also live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world where pages stick together and we don't have enough hands. We live in a world where there is increasingly, the world increasingly is approving of what, I guess we would say, we read that the Bible condemns. So, but in this time, it's not pagans, it's not non-Christians, it's not non-God followers who are doing these sinful things. They're actually God's people, God's chosen people. And so I guess this first complaint of Habakkuk's can be a strong warning to us as Christians who are ignoring God with the way that we live our lives. As Christians, we have to take a look at our own relationship with God. If we're not diligent in pursuing him, then we might find ourselves drifting away from him as these people were in Habakkuk's time. So let's take a look at what God answers to this complaint of Habakkuk's. What does he say? He says, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it." So God is going to raise up. This is actually what happened and what God said he was going to do as you read further into the book. God's going to actually raise up the cruel Babylonians in order to deal with Israel. God's judgment against Israel, against Judah, shocks everyone, including Habakkuk. God will deal with the sin. And I guess when we look around and things don't always make sense to us, why, God, aren't you listening? Why is there violence everywhere? Why is there war? Why, still after so many years, do we treat our fellow man, our fellow humans in such deplorable ways? Chat to God about it. Ask him. I haven't got the answers. Ask him like he did, like Habakkuk did. And as I kind of read through more of God's answer to Habakkuk, I kind of heard God saying, "Relax, I've got it all under control." Okay? And it made me think of a psalm, Psalm 37. And in verse 7 it says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Don't fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm." So I think here what God is trying to say to us is stop worrying about what others are doing. Focus and be still on God instead. So I just love how God didn't get angry with Habakkuk. Now, I'm also going to pause here because I am just flying through this book. Perhaps you might have a chance this week to go and read it for yourself, the book of Habakkuk. But God, I don't get the impression that God is angry with Habakkuk or upset for asking these questions. And so sometimes I think like his answer, just wait, I've got it under control. Sometimes we just need to patiently wait to hear what the Lord wants to say to us. Whatever that answer may be, we can be assured that God is for us and he will do what is best. So in the human eye, it can look like things are going from bad to worse, but relax, God has it under control. And as Jody chose some songs for us to sing, a couple of songs that we've already sung this morning, I think that was her thoughts that were going through her mind as well. Let's move on to Habakkuk's second complaint, because he doesn't really like the fact that God is saying, okay, your people are up to some bad stuff, but I'm going to send even worse people to fix up your issue. And so Habakkuk goes, "O Lord, our rock, you've sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for many sins, but you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up the people more righteous than they?" So Habakkuk expected God to judge the people, but not like this. He probably expected God to bring a judgment like what had happened in the past, perhaps a plague, perhaps, you know, striking down the most unfaithful with disease. But this judgment is going to actually be much worse, okay? So God is going to judge Judah with a people that are more corrupt than they are. I guess if we look around in today's times, this could be a bit like allowing, you know, terrorists to take over whole parts of Europe or whole parts of Australia or North America. Like, not perfect countries, but being taken over by more sinful and corrupt ways. And from our viewpoint, the punishment doesn't, and from Habakkuk's viewpoint, the punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime. So he made this complaint against God, but then he did wait for God to answer. He didn't understand God's plans, and so he just told God about his frustrations. Good lesson there, I think. Habakkuk didn't abandon God. He kept pushing in, he kept wrestling, and he kept waiting and asking for God to respond. And I think this is a good pattern for us to follow. It's fine to bring your questions and even your complaints to God, but we need to then just relax, remember that he's in control, and wait for an answer. And this is God's answer to this particular complaint. God says, "This is a vision for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness in God." But the righteous will live by their faithfulness in God. In life, God's plans are way better than our plans. God's will is better than our will because he sees the big picture of history. And this is good news because God always works for our good. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." God has things under control, but we have to decide how we are going to respond to him. God shows us that there can be two ways that we can respond to his plans. I guess our natural response and what he's hinting in this verse is that we want to trust ourselves. When we get thrown off by uncertainty, because many of us think we have our own life in our own control, and so we're going to get thrown by that. We don't think bad things will happen to us because we have a too high view of ourselves. And the people of Judah certainly didn't think that God was going to bring judgment upon them. They had too much pride for that. Pride makes us think that our own accomplishments, our abilities, our wealth will provide security through all of life's difficulties. When bad things do happen, we tend to panic because we realize we aren't in control. And this is the attitude that God wants to work through in the Israelites, and he wants to work through with us. As the ends of that verse says there in verse 5, when in doubt, walk by faith. The right response to God is to trust in him. The proud in that verse that we just read are contrasted with the righteous. The righteous are those who have been made right with God. And their response to uncertainty is to trust in him. In Habakkuk, God is testing the faith of his people. Would they trust in God after this message of judgment? I don't know. I think I would be packing my bags and running away and getting out of there and escaping the Babylons if I had any chance. We have to, and I guess in life we have to face that last question too. Are we going to trust the way that God's leading us, or are we going to want to run sideways? The Bible teaches us that God wants us to trust in him. We need to trust God with our eternity and with our everyday life. Every difficulty and setback in life is an opportunity to trust God and follow him. So when we, like Habakkuk, find ourselves in a tough situation and feel that God is not responding to our cries, so often we do not realize that God is actually working out something on our behalf behind the scenes. Perhaps his way of helping and deliverance began a lot longer before we even had the problem, before we even recognized the issue. God had already been at work. How are we going with those pictures down there? Awesome. Oh, yeah? They're all really quite different to each other. It's good. Yep, excellent. So we will go back to Habakkuk up in his watchtower, whether it's literal or figuratively, and we'll see God's response to Habakkuk saying, hey, why are you sending these mean, evil Babylonians to bring about your work in this land? So God responds. This is just a paraphrase of what's happening in chapter 2. What sorrow awaits you? But the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. So humans, we want justice. So it bothers us when people get away with evil. And this is why Habakkuk was so upset when it appeared that the wicked Babylonians were going to go unpunished after committing plenty of atrocities against God's people. But in that second chapter of Habakkuk, God reminds Habakkuk that he hates all sin and will actually bring justice to the Babylonians as well by turning their own sinful tactics against themselves. So God kind of gives a poetic justice reminder, okay? This section of the book of the scripture is actually a poem or a rhyming song. In the original language of Hebrew, the poem contained 5 verses that each began with the phrase, woe to you, or the translation that I've got up there is called, they've worded it, what sorrow awaits you. So, what sorrow awaits you. As the poem rhymes along, each verse describes a sin of the Babylonians and how God will deal with that specific sin. So, you can read through that and or just take my word for it, that's what happens in chapter 2. Our world today has fallen into the same pattern, I guess, as the Babylonians. We have our own set, we have set aside God's revealed truth for our culturally driven kind of sense of right or wrong. We've kind of put what God would say is right and wrong. We've kind of come up with our own set of rules. And we perhaps desire things such as pleasure, comfort, status, wealth, and we've kind of made those our own idols. And in actual practice, we worship these things above our God. But God's poetic justice will come about and God will prevail over sin. We see in this passage that God cares deeply about justice and it will actually ultimately bring it about. God loves this world a lot more than we could. When we get stirred up by things that don't seem fair in this world, just imagine how much more that is digging at God's heart and upsetting him. And I guess depending on where you personally stand with God, this can be a really wonderful thing and a comforting thought, or perhaps it's a bit convicting and a bit frightful reality. If you're rebelling against God, this message is a wake-up call to the reality that God will eventually bring around his perfect justice. But the good news is that if you're not sure where you stand with God, you don't have to live in uncertainty. Okay? Through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has made it possible for anyone who would trust in him to be fully forgiven of their sin. God will ultimately prevail over sin, and as we have this wider picture than Habakkuk did of God's salvation on the cross, that can be something that we don't have to do for ourselves, but that we can choose to follow for ourselves. To follow and accept, I guess. So, what are we up to? God gave a response. Don't worry, I'm going to deal with the Babylonians. They're going to get their justice. I will always prevail over sin. So we come back to Habakkuk and we come back to his response. And we come to chapter 3. So this book of Habakkuk has been about questioning, about wrestling, about chatting with God. And I just love chapter 3 because in the end, in chapter 3, we come to this beautiful response of Habakkuk. So like Habakkuk, we know that life includes suffering. And, you know, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, this is the time where I should, you know, when I do my Bible college preaching subject, they'll tell you this is where you should throw in a, which I haven't done, by the way. So I don't know. I'm just, going on my own here. But I imagine when you listen to sermons, they often throw in a, you know, a personal story, something to do with the past or what's going on for them at the moment. And perhaps I thought, this is a point where I need to throw in my amazing story of suffering and how God got me back on the right path, or all the answers that God gave to me. But you know what? I couldn't actually come up with one. And I know that I have plenty. I'm not saying that my life has been easy. But every time I thought of something, I thought, but yeah, what about that person's situation? Theirs is worse than mine. And, you know, I can't really complain about mine. But I guess it just got me to this place where I thought, I'm going to leave that with you guys, because you know what's going on in your mind. You know the things that you are dealing with at the moment. You know the things that creep up from time to time. You know those questions that you want to ask God. And, you know, for some of those things, they might be, I might look at them and think they're huge. They're about loss and about grief and about, you know, a continued time of suffering, perhaps 4 years of, you know, suffering after, a split second kind of accident. But each story is going to be, it's going to be your own. And I don't think we can judge others and go, well, you could be really upset or angry or questioning about that. But your life, Narelle, you know, you've had it pretty easy. You had it pretty smooth. Got a, you know, got a cool family, got a comfortable house. What are you complaining about? So, whether it's suffering we see in ourselves or whether it's situations, world situations or people that we love, we all know that life includes suffering, and it's filled with questions and issues that we want to wrestle over with others and with God. And we can often feel overwhelmed. If you read verse 16 of chapter 3 in Habakkuk, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but it says about Habakkuk says he feels trembling and some kind of other physical reaction. So I think Habakkuk is feeling pretty overwhelmed with this situation that he's in. And I know that I can feel pretty overwhelmed by situations that I find myself in. And that's life. That's how Habakkuk's feeling. But he turns this pessimism into optimism. He has an optimistic approach rather than a pessimistic approach. This chapter three, I think it's a song. It's a song that teaches us how to follow God in the midst of life's deepest struggles. So I'm just going to read to you the last three verses of this chapter three. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie in empty and barren, even though the fields, the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. So basically, you know, even though everything is gone south, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the Lord of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. So having a relationship with Jesus, having a relationship with God through Jesus, can change your viewpoint. As we read in Philippians 4:8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." A man of faith, Habakkuk, was content to rest all his questions and trust in God. Habakkuk closes his book with this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving and faith. Even though things happen that may seem troubling or not right, he was still going to trust in the Lord. Even though there were no blossoms on those fig trees, no fruit this year, big storm, everything got blown away the day after Christmas, no more flocks or sheep, or herds, drought, no cattle. Even though this is the situation he finds himself in, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The word rejoice in Hebrew actually means to leap for joy. And the word joy in Hebrew literally means to spin around under the influence of great emotions such as joy. Okay? And so we think about Habakkuk being this man of faith. And despite what he saw happening around him, Habakkuk not only knew the one who was in control, relaxing in him and leaning on him, but Habakkuk says, "The Lord God is my strength." So perhaps there are things happening in your life that you do not understand. Perhaps you have questions. I'm pretty sure you'd all have questions. And God never told Habakkuk that he should not bring his questions to him. Sit out on that veranda, go for a walk on the beach, sit up. I think I saw a trampoline down here and I can see what looks like some bedrooms. Ask God these questions. So God gives Habakkuk the answers. He gives Habakkuk the answers in this situation, in this instance. He gives the answers he needs and he encourages him to trust in him and to walk in faith. So as we bring our questions and requests to God, he desires that we also experience, I guess, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which we also read in Philippians. When the things that are happening around you do not seem to make sense, I wonder if you can jump for joy and spin around like Habakkuk did. Because we do know in the hard times, even in the hardest times, and scattered throughout our days and our weeks, there are plenty of happy times. There are places to look to and to learn and from and to see the gifts of God. It might just be as simple as morning sunshine, or on the last couple of days that we've had, nice cool places, perhaps a nice cool drink, perhaps a nice shady tree, perhaps it's a warm hug when you need one. This year, hey, it's only, what is it, the 8th of January, so we'll see how we go. But as a family, on New Year's Eve, we thought we had this little activity and we thought we're going to get this jar. Good old Pinterest or Instagram or Zoe or whatever. We found this idea that we'd get this jar, we put on the side of it, 2017, and look, it's not a rule, no one's going to get in trouble if they don't do it, but I'm just going to encourage, and we have already done a few, my kids, David and I, if there's just something that's happened in the day, write it on a piece of paper, chuck it in the jar, okay? And next New Year's Eve, we're going to, hopefully it's going to be flowing over, we're going to open it, tip it all out, and we're going to read them. And look, do you know what, there's probably not going to be, well, I don't know, win $1 million or, I don't know, get given a cruise. I don't know what's going to, I don't know if they're necessarily going to be written on these pieces of paper, but I hope that this jar is going to be full of little things. I know what I've already written in there, just things that my kids say that make me laugh, or just the opportunity to have a bit of time out, or what else did I write in there? Yeah, maybe some things that I shouldn't share, giving away family secrets. So that's just one way that I thought this year we're going to try and turn help make 2017 a year where we focus on the optimistic, where we focus on the good things of God, rather than the things that can get us down, even if it's just from day to day, or perhaps issues that crop up that really dampen our life and our outlook on and our situations. And I think the biggest gift that definitely does not fit in that jar, of course, is the gift of Jesus. And we've just come out of this season of Advent and waiting for, I think, what was God's answer to many of the questions of these prophets and the Israelites in the Old Testament times. We know this great gift of Jesus. In Romans 8:32, it says, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but he gave him up for us all, won't he give us everything else?" So from this little book, but with a big message of Habakkuk, I bring you these 4 points and I just remind you of them again. I hope you've been able to follow me. I know it's been helpful for me during this week and the weeks previously to get to know this book. But I encourage you, if you think, well, didn't follow that along, have a read of it yourself. So don't be afraid to wrestle with God. Don't be afraid to hang out with him in that place that you feel comfortable with and ask him the questions. He's not going to get angry at you. He's not going to, be upset at you. Get them out. Talk to him about it. And then relax, because God has it under control. Rest in that. And when in doubt, walk by faith. Remember Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous will live by faith. Many songs, many passages that can help you to do that. And eventually God will prevail over sin. He's done that time and time again in the stories that we read in the Old Testament. He's done that through his son Jesus. And we read in Revelation that he will ultimately bring about a divine doing as well. And in the midst of it all, God can change a viewpoint. So we might not like the answers we get. We might not like the situations we're in. Nobody really does like tough times, I don't think. But God can change that viewpoint from that pessimistic, angry temper, want to find the answer side. He can change that to an optimistic side by looking at his goodness and his greatness. And I guess that's probably a good point to lead into a couple more songs that Jody has chosen for us to help us focus on goodness and greatness. So kids, I just want to thank you for focusing on the task that I gave you. Perhaps you can stay and keep finishing it off while we sing. And hey, come and show me. I wouldn't mind having a look at them. Or show another adult or your parent or your grandparent in the room what you drew and what you perhaps got out of this story, this book of Habakkuk. Thank you.
Are we going to have a look at some of them?
Do you want to have a look at something? I promised them I wouldn't put them on the spot, but let me see if there's any brave ones. Okay. Somebody want to share their picture? The place that you go to wrestle with God? You're dobbing in your sister. Are you being dobbed in? Did you even realise that you were getting the... Nah. Okay, Angus, tell us about your place.
I'm in my bedroom, standing next to my cards, my Rubik's Cube, my basketball, football, and I'm wearing a Santa Cruz t-shirt with Adelaide Crows colours.
Cool. That's cool. A Santa Cruz t-shirt with Adelaide Crows colours. Can you get such a thing, or are you going to design such a thing? You're going to design it. Cool. So I'm looking at that, and I'm hearing maybe when you've got things around you that you like or make you feel comfortable, this is a place you can probably find that you can chat to the Almighty God. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else want to share theirs? No, you're going to do individual. Go and show someone. Oh, you do. You accepted the dobbing.
Mine is about being like new gardens and stuff that God built.
Thanks for sharing, Sherilyn. That's good.